Our lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Then Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant. Just as he promised long ago, through the preaching of his holy prophets, deliverance from our enemies and every hateful hand, mercy to our fathers, as he remembers to do what he said he'd do, what he swore to our father Abraham, a clean rescue from the enemy camp, so we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the Master to prepare his ways, present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace." May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This last week, I saw a letter to the editor that sort of caught my eye. It was from a local pastor from a church that actually is the closest to my house down in Princeton Junction. And in this letter, he was complaining about blue Christmas services. Well, of course, that caught my eye because we've got one coming up this week. And I was curious to know, why would anyone be upset by a blue Christmas service? Well, to make a long story short, his concern was that blue Christmas services sort of split a congregation, a church family, apart, putting a group of the depressed people or the sad people or the people dealing with challenges in one category and all the happy people in the other category. And he feels it's really important to keep everybody all together. Well, I agree that it is important for the family of God to be together as one, but I couldn't help but feel that he sort of missed the point on that a little bit. Because for years and years and years, there has been a tendency within the church to just focus on all the joyfulness. Joy to the world. Joy everywhere. Happiness. The perfect Christmas. And frankly, there probably hasn't been enough distinction between how the church celebrates Christmas and what Christmas is really all about versus how the world celebrates Christmas. And maybe what we really need to be doing is acknowledging more openly the fact that Christmas is not the way the PR and the media folks try to present it. It's almost a sort of like they jump to the end of the story before we really get there. It's a little bit the way we talk about Easter, how you can't have a risen Christ without a crucified Christ first. So what are we really talking about here? Well, this morning's scripture, as is so often the case, comes in the middle of the story. And unless you're really familiar with the bigger story of that scripture, you may be scratching your head and going, okay, who is this guy? Who is he talking about? What's going on? Well, we're starting at the very first chapter of Luke. And Luke was very unique because he was the only Gentile of the writers of the Gospels. He was a doctor, and he was very much a believer in Jesus. And he was very passionate about the fact that Jesus came to those who were troubled, the least of these, to those who weren't among the higher upper echelon, those who struggled in life, those who had challenges. And so the story, the book actually starts out where Zechariah, who is a priest, and his wife. They're quite old. They've always wanted a child, never been able to have one. And so here they are in their old age, and an angel comes to Zechariah and tells him, guess what? Your wife's going to have a baby. Well, it's kind of a different thing between when, like our dear Rachel, having a baby, where she's young and got the energy to keep up. But can you imagine being told in your later years, guess what? You're going to have a baby. So he's amazed. He doesn't believe it at first. He doesn't even think it's possible. But he's told that this, he's not only going to be the father of a new baby, but it's going to be a very special baby. A child that's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit right from the beginning, and that is going to be born for a very special purpose. And the purpose being to share with the world that Jesus is coming. And so Elizabeth, the wife, conceives this child, and not long later, it is a cousin, Mary, who then conceives Jesus. And so they share together the joy that they're both expecting these babies, both in odd situations, one born to an elderly couple, the other born to an unmarried young woman. Each messy challenges. And then we come into this morning's scripture. And John, who we know as John the Baptist, has just been born. A new baby. And Father Zechariah, who was rendered unable to speak after the angel came to him, is now suddenly able to speak, and he shares this good news of the purpose of his son. Now, sound just a little bit complicated? Yeah. But you know what? Life is complicated. Life is never in a straight line, the shortest distance between two points. There are always these little side trips, always these little things that surprise us, always complicated. Now, who wouldn't enjoy just having a perfect, perfect life? No problems. Having everything that you need all the time, never having to worry about anything, knowing everything's going to be perfect. But we don't get that life. And between you and me, I think if we did, we'd probably be bored to tears. In fact, most of the people that I know, when they do go through those patches where everything is going really smoothly, they invariably find ways to kind of stir things up because they can't stand it being so quiet, so calm. So easy. But the thing is, each of us in our hearts, we have a longing for something that we can't even always put our fingers on. We have a longing for something that we can often not even name. And the problem is that as we try to fulfill that longing, a God-created longing for God, we often misinterpret that longing for something else. And so we easily fall trapped to all of the seductive things out there, all those things that tell us that this will make you happy. If you just get this product here, your life will be perfect. If we just do this thing here, everything will be beautiful and you'll be happy, right? And especially this time of year, the noise is so loud. The ads, the messages, the songs, the carols, the lights, everything is so bright, so distracting, that if we're not careful, we can miss the point of Christmas completely. We can go through the whole season and then wake up afterwards and say, what just happened there? What just happened there? And of course, us overachievers are always every year trying to create what? The perfect Christmas? Yes? Anyone here? We feel obligated, especially moms. If you're the shopper, the Christmas shopper, we feel obligated to create the perfect Christmas. So we're cruising to see, you know, oh, Wouldn't he or she just love that? Or wouldn't that be right? And those things are invariably out of our reach. But usually they're not things that we really need or want after all. I felt for the two of you, Jean and Johnny, this week as you were getting moved. And I know that making the change and downsizing, that Tim and I are going to have to, not move, but have to downsize and sort through some things at some point. Because anytime you're in one place for a period of time, things just, you just get more and more stuff, even if you're not trying to get stuff. To the point you can hardly walk through the garage or the attic or whatever. I'm sure none of you have that problem out there. But we get sucked in so easily, and those things become not a source of joy, but a source of pain. They actually become a burden at a certain point. So what do we do? What do we who follow Christ, how do we really celebrate Christmas this year? The first thing is to get centered. Take a step back. Take a step back from everything and think about what this is really about. This season is a celebration of God's love for you. A God who loved you so much, that he gave a son for you. Someone to walk alongside of you every step of your journey. He created this son not for warm fuzzies, not for all the craziness that we see every year, but as the most important gift in your life. In your life. And what he would love nothing more during this time, in the weeks and days that lead up to Christmas, would be for you to take some time to sit with his word, to feel surrounded by his love, to know that you already have every single thing that you need in your life. It's true. You already have every single thing that you need in your life. God has already given it to you. And so, as we approach Christmas, it's not about looking for gifts. It's about appreciating the ultimate gift that we already have. That we already have. Now imagine, just for a moment, just close your eyes for just a minute. Hear that beautiful silence? It's Christmas and everyone is losing their minds, rushing around. But you are here in the peace and love of God. You have a wealth this very moment that you may not even know you have. You can open your eyes back up. All you have to do is claim that gift. That's all. Don't worry about finding the perfect gifts for those people you love. Just love them with the love Jesus gave you. Don't worry if you don't get all the decorations up. Don't worry if you don't get all the perfect meals prepared. Don't worry if things aren't all wrapped and cards out and all those things. Instead, this year, keep it simple. This year, celebrate what is truly good and beautiful about this season. Know that whatever is going on in your life right now, whatever that challenge may be, no matter what worries you have in your heart, no matter what fears you have, the ultimate gift is in your life. And that's the gift of God's peace. Even when it seems elusive, but He is there. He is there. Celebrate that this year. Celebrate that. Let us pray. Almighty God, we miss so much in our busyness, and never more than this time of year. But we pray, Lord, that You would instead be centered in You, be centered in Your love, Your goodness, Your mercy, Your provision, and keep reminding us that all that we really need, we already have. The greatest gift, we already have it. Amen.